Welcome to another episode of Focus on the Bible.
Is water baptism a part of being saved? What I mean is being saved from sin into eternal life. Well, there's a lot of confusion about that, and therefore there are a lot of arguments about whether water baptism is a requirement for being saved or not. That's a shame. I think that if we could only focus on the Bible, we'd find answers about water baptism. Let's talk about that. Water baptism was very important in the Old Testament and used greatly by God for great purposes. The Old Testament priests were ceremonially washed. Now, the Bible never says that in baptizing themselves by ceremonial washings that somehow the priest's sins were taken away. The Bible never says that. It was ceremonial. It was a picture of cleansing. It was a symbol. It'd be a lot easier to trust your priest if he looked like he was clean. Amen. And God wanted that to give an impression that the priests are doing God's work. But water baptism was not a part of taking anyone's sins away in the Old Testament tabernacle or the temple. They used a great big laver, and the priests were continually able to wash themselves. After all, they were doing the work of butchers as they offered those animals' blood for sacrifices. Again, ceremonially. They pictured cleansing by the blood of those animals, but the blood of those animals never took anyone's sins away. It was a picture that people could understand the work of God to take sin away. Now later, John the Baptist made baptism absolutely famous. He brought it to the forefront, and again, this was of God, and it had a great purpose of God. Unfortunately, John the Baptist's whole ministry has been often misunderstood. What was his ministry? What was John trying to do? Well, he was the forerunner. Way back, the prophet Isaiah had foretold his coming, that he would be the forerunner. He would be the one to prepare the road that people could see their Messiah as Jesus came into the world. And John the Baptist did a great job with the job of being the forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord. But John never told anyone that those baptisms that he was doing would save them into eternal life. That wasn't John's message ever. He was giving a national repentance call to Israel. Now, Israel was a mixed group. There were believers among them who had received all that the prophets had said about God bringing a Messiah that would take away their sins. But there were also people who hadn't believed in Jesus. There was a carnal group of people, too, who were so awful. Now, you can't even tell who's saved and who's not. Israel was really messed up, spiritually speaking. And since the book of Judges, every man had done what was right in his own eyes. Well, John came to get Israel's attention, and he used water baptism to give them a great picture of it. But John never told anyone that his water baptism would save them. It was a symbolic ministry of water baptism. It was also used by God for John in another way. John testified that he was the forerunner of Jesus, and yet there was a time that he didn't even know who the Messiah was. If you'll take your Bible, friend, and meet me in John chapter 1 and verse 30, and let's hear from the one that we call John the Baptist. The Bible is so clear about this, the way that John revealed it. Verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water." What did he say? God sent John the Baptist baptizing with water to make Jesus known. But how can John make someone known that he's not certain of the identity? And so he asked God. Verse 32, "John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And so God used water baptism. He basically told John the Baptist, you go out water baptizing and calling people that the Messiah is coming. But as you baptize, one day the Messiah himself will come to you. And when you see the Spirit descend and remain on him, you'll know that is the Messiah. Now, we have Bible fulfillment of this in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says this of the account of Jesus' own baptism by John. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Boy, God didn't leave much question at all in John the Baptist's mind, did he? He knew he had the right guy. It's unmistakable now because these things never happened at any other water baptism. But God used water baptism to identify Jesus as the Messiah to John. Now, in John chapter 3, something interesting happened. Time went by, and now Jesus himself has begun to do water baptisms. Well, people were flocking to Jesus. You know why they were flocking to Jesus? Because John had done such a great job preparing the way for Jesus. But now John's disciples come running to him and they're alarmed. Maybe they're a little jealous. John chapter 1 now and verse 25. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." John seems totally unconcerned that people are rushing to Jesus and not him. Amen. Here's a great forerunner now standing aside while Jesus takes over the baptisms. Do you understand, friend? John is not uptight about baptism. He recognized it for what it was, a symbol. But now these people are seeing the Messiah. Now they can believe in him. So John has done a good job. In verse number 30, he says of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Take note again, friend, that John at no point ever told anyone that water baptism was saving. In fact, six verses later, John makes it clear what people need to do to have everlasting life. This is beautiful. John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You see, John was crystal clear about what is saving, and that's believing in Jesus. Those who believe have everlasting life. Those who don't believe don't have life from God. Baptism is not a confusing thing in the Bible. It's only confusing when people take their eye off the Bible and make assumptions about being saved. But it's just not here in the ministry of John the Baptist. How about the Apostle Paul? I have often read in places that people say baptism is a part of salvation because John the Baptist did it, and Jesus did it, and Paul the Apostle did it. Well, is it true then that baptism is saving? No. Paul the Apostle joins the parade in saying that baptism is not at all a requirement for everlasting life. In fact, Paul the Apostle really drops a hammer on this argument in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, as he writes back to these people that he led to put their faith in Jesus. This is what he says about water baptism. 1 Corinthians 1 now and verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. There's Paul the Apostle boasting that he only recalls the names of three that he ever water baptized. And then he caps this by saying, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So Paul the Apostle has the spotlight on Jesus. He's preaching Jesus crucified for our sins and risen from the grave as the Savior of all who believe in Him. And that's what Paul the Apostle was telling people to do. Believe on Christ to be saved. And this is so very clear. Now, John used it for great purpose. Jesus used it for great purpose. Old Testament priests used baptism for great purpose. And Paul, the apostle, used water baptism. But he never, ever told anyone to be water baptized to be saved. And later, he boasted that he had only baptized a few people there, and for good reason, because that's not why God sent him. Now, friend, let me remind you of another case in the Bible we should consider, and that's the thief on the cross. Did Jesus want him to be saved? Certainly. Did Jesus tell him to be water baptized to be saved? Certainly not. Jesus promised that thief on the cross that he would see Jesus in paradise that very day. So here's Jesus' own guarantee that a person who doesn't have a water baptism is going to paradise and be with Jesus there. How? Because the thief on the cross believed in Jesus. He was one more sheep straggling through while the gate was closing. Now, friend, baptism can be useful for us today as a symbol, as it was in the Bible. Baptism is a great picture of cleansing by God. We should only ever use it as a symbol, as a ceremony that shows what has happened when Jesus cleaned a person because they believed in Him. And water baptism could be used as a great ceremony that would become a stage for a gospel presentation. As a saved person is water baptized and they identify with Jesus, maybe family members and friends could hear the gospel at the baptism of that new believer.
This program is a production of Focus Ministries Incorporated. Another ministry under the umbrella of Focus is Grace Farm, a youth camp and training center founded to grow leaders to defend and advance the gospel of Christ. If you or someone you know is looking for a youth camp to help children and teens develop their faith while making lifelong memories, you should go to gracefarmonline.com to learn more and register for our next camp session. If you have thoughts or questions, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Focus Ministries, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. That's all for now, but we're already looking forward to sharing our next episode with you as we continue to focus on the Bible.